The Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change, invites us to expand our lives by changing the lens we see through. Is something different calling you? Do you ever ask yourself, is this all there is? Or have you forgotten why you're even here? Trish and Diane create insightful and empowering conversations about connecting the self, soul, nature, and community. Navigating life by choice rather than circumstance is how we make the shift to expand our humanity. The shift starts now.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Shift Podcast, Perspective and Our Power to Change. I'm Trish Campbell, your co-host, along with my good friend, Di McClay. And we are here with, episode 29. We're going to talk about we can't see it when we're in it, a perspective shift. And as always, also, I want to say we are part of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And thank you to Jacob, our producer, who's behind the scenes that you can't see, for making this all look so seamless on the other end. Deeply grateful for you. And just want to open up by honoring the land on which I settle, Diane, Jacob, all of us settle. We're all settlers on this land, on the land where we are, where we live, operate our lives from, our businesses. And for me, I want to honor the lands and the indigenous peoples of the Haudenosaunee, the Mississauga of the Credit First Nation, the Huron-Wendat, and the Ojibwe Chippewa, honoring them today, every day, for their connection to Mother Earth, for their example of stewardship, and for the wisdoms gleaned over millennia that they share with us. And we are so fortunate to have and to be able to come to you today because of that opportunity. So I just want to extend that same offering to you, Diane, if you want to.
Thank you. And I'm going to do it a little bit different today. Okay. I want to specifically name an individual person. I want to sort of dedicate and honor the show to an Indigenous woman who was found murdered in Seattle. And that sounds very morbid, but the reason why I want to do that, her name was Mavis Nelson, and her sister, she's a member of the Yakima Nation, and that is one of the named tribes and named confederations of banded people that the federal government recognizes. And the reason why I want to call out Mavis Nelson's name is that thanks to you, Trish, you know, a year and a half ago, I didn't understand what land acknowledgement was. I didn't even know that it existed except to hear about it in a political headline where somebody's doing a ribbon cutting ceremony on a property. But because you brought it to my attention and you changed my perspective on it and you allowed me to engage in a curious conversation about why is it important and how am I connected to it, not only do we start the show with it, but it also has now started to help me. I now see headlines like this one when a person is found unfortunately murdered. But then when I was digging deeper on the article, Seattle actually has a very high rate of missing and murdered Indigenous women. 5% of the open cold cases right now are related to missing Indigenous women. And it's ironic, not ironic, that's not the right word, but it's sad because the Indigenous people in the Seattle area represent 2% of the population. So by the statistics, there's a higher than normal, higher than acceptable thing that's going on where people who are already unnamed and uncounted and undervalued, they are already in a place of compromise. And now when something tragic happens to them, there's less that's known about it. So it's kind of a twisted, dark way of looking at things, but my awareness is up. So my thoughts and feelings go out to the family of Mavis Nelson, to the Yakima Nation. They lost somebody that was very proud of their heritage and their culture, and they lost somebody that contributed to that culture moving forward with the younger generation. And then from my area, just the other nations and tribes, Confederated Warm Strings, the Wishram people, the Nez Perce, there are many that are unnamed, and I just lay a quiet homage to the people who have passed before me and whose lives have been taken, either purposely or unintentionally. But there are a lot of Indigenous people that have been sacrificed for eventually my benefit and my privilege.
Thank you for bringing attention and putting a name to that, to Mavis's name, and, you know, calling out attention to her specifically, and to the issue of the countless Indigenous women and girls that are murdered or missing. It's also present here in Canada, and there's countless, and it just continues that erasure of a people. And that's why we want to bring awareness of this, so that we, you know, when it's interesting, you know, our topic today is about, you can't see it when you're in it, or we can't see it when we're in it. We can't see the conditioning that we live in a society, so that, you know, the government that years ago tried to wipe out a culture, you know, cultures of people and their languages and their way of being. And then that extends into the way we're raised, indoctrinated into a society that kind of is blind, or, you know, become invisible in society, and they, you know, are forced to adapt to a different way of life that is much like all of us are kind of indoctrinated into a system, but it's even, you know, more so with the Indigenous peoples and Black and people of color as well. So it's the part of the broader topic that we're talking about, that we can't see it when we're in it. Just like, that's why I feel it's important to call out and to acknowledge the land and to acknowledge the people that came before us, because we are very privileged as two white women living in society, and we can't always see that privilege when we're in it. So it's important to, you know, that's part of this topic too, is to kind of step outside the situation or the experience that we're in, or the dynamic, whatever it might be, and to have another perspective of it.
Yeah, and I want to tie something in. I have the beautiful privilege right now of being one of the first people to read the 90 meditations that you have in your new book that's coming out, Love Me, Cultivating Wholeness and Being. And after I heard this news story, I opened the book randomly to your meditation called Nudge. And so in your words, I want to convey it to our listeners, like, today we nudge you. The question we ask you and we ask ourselves today is, how do you want to show up in this new world? This is a rebuilding of a paradigm, a shift into an individual mindset to propel the collective. And I feel like just being aware of what's happening in our news cycles, being aware that somebody is affected, there's like a real human being at the end of any of this negativity that's happening in our political cycle, that's happening in our news cycle, that's happening in our neighborhoods and our societies. Like, there are real people that are suffering and experiencing real situations. And it's very easy to flip what we're talking about today, it's really easy to not see it if you're not in it. Mm-hmm. And my nudge to people based on your affirmation is to look and open your eyes. And you can't see what's happening in someone else's world if you're so stuck in your own world.
Right. And I mean, that it's so, I mean, I'm so glad we're talking about this, because, you know, I think we kind of thought we were going to go in, and we are still kind of going in that direction, but, you know, it's being able to step outside what we're in right now, and, you know, pause and ask ourselves those questions. You know, part of this topic was prompted from our just kind of conversation around letting go of attachment to outcomes, and like, why is it so hard for us to do the simple thing? And we make things difficult for ourselves, and it's really coming back to that practice of going within, but also stepping outside of yourself in that process, and almost doing a self inquiry with the same things you would ask somebody else, like ask yourself those questions.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned simple. I crafted a new word this week, and it's complify.
Complify?
Complify. Complifying is when you're trying to make something simple, but you try so hard and you're so attached to the outcome that you actually make it complicated. You're actually trying to simplify something, but literally simultaneously while you're trying to simplify a process, a relationship, a word, an understanding, a concept, you complicate it. And let me give you a quick example. I got connected to somebody I haven't spoken to in 6 years. Somebody that was a part of my old Ranger world sent me a text last November and wanted to reconnect, wanted to apologize, wanted to mend some fences, wanted to really just let me know that I wasn't lost in their way of thinking and in their mind. But they didn't reach out to me right away because in their own mind, in their own story, there were all these questions. How is she going to react? And does mm-hmm. she still like me? And like, what am I going to say? Right. And this has happened in my life like three times in the last month where somebody that I've been distant from or estranged from has actually reached out to me. And the irony is the simple way of reaching out would be like a quick text. Hey, I'm thinking of you. Or a picture, an emoji. Hi, how are you? Each person sent me a very lengthy communication, one in an email, one in a text. And then there's all this extra stuff, explanations, reasoning. I can see their feelings are across the board about everything. There's a lot of guilt, shame. There's a lot of self-loathing about things other people have done in their relationship. And what I told each of these individual people was, all I want is to start from today. Like, I can let go of whatever happened that brought us to this point, but we need to just say, from today forward, how do we want to have a relationship? And that's simple, but it's not easy. And it's not easy because we tend to complify things.
Right. And I think we complify things because it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to do something. Sometimes I think that's why the simple thing is the hardest thing to do because, or the most difficult, most challenging, because it's uncomfortable because we, you know, and it's interesting. You said that your friend, you know, included all of these explanations, and those are the stories that we're talking about. We kind of, you know, we're living in our reality and we're telling ourselves stories about how the way things are based on, you know, how we're, oh my gosh. So I don't know if anybody can hear this, but not only is there a hot rodder down the street, but there's like a very loud bang of construction going on as I'm trying to talk. So
pause real quick.
Yes.
I'm just going to tie this in. What kind of noise is in your life right now?
Yeah.
That's what, so good. If you hear something, our listeners probably have noise going on around them. Identify those distant noises, those noises that are distracting, and pause, because I think this is the universe saying to us that we're so embedded in this noise around mm-hmm. us that we don't pause to get more clarity on other stuff. I think it's brilliant that a noise shows up when we're doing a show, because to me, it's a reminder of where's the noise and how do we ignore it, or how do we at least honor it and pay attention to it? In this moment, I'll say, I'm very grateful I have ears that allow me to hear that noise, rather than choosing to be annoyed by that noise because it interrupted our show.
Right. And it's not, it's just kind of funny. And so I have a condo building being constructed next to me and it can get loud, but I've never heard it that loud before.
Right.
And that specific noise either. So just want to note that. But you're so right. I think we're so enveloped in our reality that we get caught up in that story and we can't envision something different. We can't, you know, envision, you know, just letting go of that story, whatever it is, how the person's going to react. First of all, we can't ever know or control that. And so we think we can. So then we kind of put it off. And then we have to tell ourselves another story because we're not doing the thing we know we that's going to better serve us. Instead, we do something that doesn't serve us, we self-sabotage, and we continue to dig ourselves that hole because that just becomes easier, not simpler. It's more complicated because then we getting ourselves out of that is more complicated. But the simple thing would have been just to say, hey, we haven't talked in a while. I'd love to reconnect with you. And, you know, save all the other that really isn't relative to the you know, the reaching out or the reconnection. It's
right. The why the reconnection didn't happen for as long as it did is less important to me than putting energy into the reconnection. Right. And it's a little distracting. And I get it. Like, you know, guilt and shame are very heavy burdens to carry, especially when you carry it yourself. And then when, especially when you actually build, you know, a very supportive story around why guilt and shame should be, you know, your BFFs, right? You know, I deserve this. I don't, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm, you know, I probably did something that karma is coming back on me. But, you know, when we can actually say to somebody in a simple way, I've carried a lot of guilt and now I'm ready to let it go. That's almost as simple as you can get. But it takes a lot of letting go of individual components of the story to get to that place. And, and I'll give you an example from my perspective. You know, when somebody, there was a time that I would send a text to a friend and I wouldn't hear back. And at the first time, it's no big deal. Second time, it's no big deal. But when there starts to be a pattern, then I start, here's what goes on in my head. Oh, I wonder when they're going to text me back. Right. There's like my judge starts to show up, the tone of voice shows up. And then the next time I send a text, I've now attached that negative energy to the text I'm sending. And now there's a hidden agenda or hidden expectation. Well, if they don't get back to me in a certain amount of time, And then each time I reiterate that story in my head, now it's getting bigger and bigger, and I lose track of, wait a minute, there are other people in my life who take a long time to get back to me and it's no big deal. So why are there two sets of rules?
Right.
So for me, I had to say, how do I want to show up? How do I want to be? Do I like the way I'm feeling? Quite simply, yes or no. And if I don't like the way I'm feeling, what can I do to change how I feel? Right. And then as soon as I start changing how I expect myself to show up, my story changes, my energy changes. And miraculously, when I bump into other people, energetically, they are given permission to show up differently because I actually let go of how I was expecting them to show up in the beginning.
Right. I think that's so important because we end up, you know, there goes that bang again. you guys might not even be able to hear it, but we end up, you know, anticipating or being attached to a certain response or not no response. And then when it happens, it's like you said, we kind of start that judgment against the other person and start telling ourselves this story. But what ends up happening when we do that? Like, what if we can let go of that attachment to however anyone's responding to us, or any kind of let go of any attachment to outcome of any kind, and just be in our authentic self? Like you said, ask yourself, how do I want to show up? How am I showing up? And just do that, because ultimately that's all we have control over, is our own, how we, you know, embody our own being, and not how other people are reacting to us. So you look like you were going to say something.
I was going to just ask you a question. So you and I, as coaches, as healers, as people who've gone through our own pain, every day we're still learning how we let go.
Yes.
But for our listeners, I mean, it sounds like a very easy concept. Oh, just let go of it. But it's not easy. So my question to you is, what's a step, or what's something you would encourage our listeners to do if their instinctual reaction is, oh, that sounds easy for Trish and Diane, but it's not easy for me. I don't even know where to start. How do we teach people to either A, let go, or B, shift their perspective?
Right. It's, well, first of all, I will say it's not easy regardless of how many times wherever you are in your journey of expansion or growth or healing, self-love, it's always a practice. It's a practice. So you're going to have to maybe feel uncomfortable, but just let go, because I remind myself, I think I talk about this in my book specifically too, that asking myself, is what I'm doing a act of self-love? Is it an act of compassion and love, or is it an act of self-abandonment? So am I abandoning myself in this moment? Am I letting go of who I am. And I think, you know, going back to that judgment of, you know, a way of being where we're not so conscious where, oh, that person's not responding to me. Oh, well, I'll just show them. I'm not going to respond to them, or, you know, this, whatever the dynamic might end up being, we end up depending, you know, being dependent, our behavior is dependent upon the other person, but ultimately it should be dependent upon what's coming from within, not externally. And I think it's, you know, to remind people to, you know, be guided from within rather than from the external, because we're so conditioned to look outside of ourselves to see how somebody else is behaving to then conduct our behavior or to then take action or whatever it might be.
Yeah. And I would say that for letting go, I mean, we're not asking you to like suddenly do a 180 degree change.
Right.
But I add the words for now. What for can now. I let go of for now?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if I'm afraid of reaching out to somebody, then the first thing I need to do, I had a coaching friend, Nikki Ganjemi, say, you have to give yourself permission to feel the emotion.
Right.
So we're not saying don't feel at all, but feel the emotion, give yourself a time frame, 90 seconds, 2 minutes, whatever, to feel the emotion, and then give yourself permission to let go of that emotion right now. You can come back and get upset or angry later, but the way action is the way to move forward into meaning, right?
Right.
So if you just think about it, you're never going to change. But if you
right.
actively practice that emotion, express it, whatever, and then you say, okay, in the next minute, I'm going to let go of that emotion and I'm going to focus on how I would rather feel. And then you do that for a minute and then you let go of that and say, what are some steps I could take to feel better or differently? That to me is you're letting go in the moment. You're letting go in very small incremental pieces. It's not like, hey, you've got this beef with a really good friend of yours and oh, just ignore it. Let it go. Start over.
Right.
Everything's fine. We're not saying that.
No, no. Right? And yeah. Sorry.
So experiencing it and then actively changing it.
Right. And I think I just lost what I was going to say about that specifically. But what I wanted to go back to was the dynamic where you're in that kind of being attached to somebody responding to a certain way and then letting that determine how you're going to respond. Again, that is... you know, and something I've come to learn about myself in my own journey about changing or shaping, you know, shifting, shaving off pieces of myself, whatever it was to show up a certain way for somebody just to alleviate conflict, or it could go the other way to kind of be combative or whatever. But then I'm not really being my authentic self because I'm giving my power away by allowing the other person's behavior to determine how I'm going to respond instead of being empowered and taking that moment of pause and saying, yes, and good point about feeling what you're feeling, because we're human and we're going to feel a certain way. We have, you know, emotions around that, and to feel it and kind of let that go and then let the kind of higher vibration of yourself respond to the, how you really ultimately feel. Cause a lot of times when we're responding in these knee jerk or in the moment without, you know, having some conscious thought around it, it's not really the best version of ourselves and the person that we want to show up as authentically.
Right. And I'm drawn to another affirmation and meditation that you titled Reclaiming Our Power.
Mm.
And it ties into what I try to talk about, where we have more choice than we think that we do.
Yeah.
You know, your words are, life is constantly offering us a choice to either move further away from or closer to our empowerment. It is up to you to accept this invitation, commit yourself to a choice, and then take consistent action aligned with that choice. So that's another way to step outside, you know, mm-hmm. If you're in the place of feeling empowerment, you can step out and say, okay, what makes me feel not empowered?
Right.
And then you can say, if I'm feeling unempowered, you should be able to step out of that and ask different questions and make different choices to move towards empowerment.
Right. And I mean, that's such a good point. Thank you for reading those, by the way, and bringing, you know, it really does tie into what we're talking about. So, I know we only have a few minutes left, but I mean, I think the ultimate thing to stress here and is letting go of that attachment to things having to be a certain way and the stories that are tied to that and our attachment to that story. I don't know if there's anything you wanted to add to the
conversation. Yeah, I was just going to say that if you feel like things in your life are complicated and you need someone to help you simplify it or make it easier, we would like you to go to our YouTube channels and go back and revisit some of these stories we're talking about. But we'd also invite you to send us an email and ask us the question, because one of the beautiful ways that you can make things easier is invite mm-hmm. another person into the conversation who's not attached to any of the stuff. So people can find me at diamondclay.com and they can find you at thisistrishcampbell.com.
Yes, thank you.
Right?
Yes.
So as always, you're listening to The Shift on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And as always, if you want things to change, The Shift is going to start with you. Thanks for
Thank you for listening to The Shift podcast, where perspective and our power to change intersect. Slowing down to look at things from a different angle is necessary to affect positive change. You hold the power to transform yourself and your life. It is already inside you and it's within reach. Clarity comes from awareness. Momentum comes from choice. Healing, growth, and transformation happen on The Shift podcast. The first and third Fridays at 12:30 p.m. Pacific. For more information, go to invibe.ca or dianemclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.